This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Past Lives and Distant Voices is a photography exhibition that explores the concept of anamoya, longing for a time one has never experienced firsthand. So through the lens of photographer Nirmala Karupia, one journeys through moments that blur the lines between past and present, reality and memory. Nirmala is in the studio with me to share more. Welcome, Nirmala. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Julia?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for joining me today. So, I've had the privilege of looking at some of the photos in this exhibition. Beautiful set. And I understand, from your past collections as well, right? Things that people haven't seen before.
Correct,
so
yes.
So we're going to find out a bit about that, more about that after this. But I think, just for anyone unfamiliar, can you share how you got into photography? How did your journey as a photographer actually begin?
Actually, to be very honest, being as a photographer is not my first choice. My first choice was to join in the Air Force because coming from that background. But then after my high school, and then I was ready to I'm ready now to join the Air Force. And my late dad said, "No, you're not joining the Air Force." And I went "How come?" And he said, "One is good enough." And then I asked him, "What about all these years that you are telling me, and telling me what to do, and the kind of training, things like that?" And he said, "No, I think one is good enough." And then after that, he said, "It's up to you now, what you really want to do." Then I told him that, "Okay, fine. If it is that is the case, I want to do fashion designing." And he said, "No," again. And I was very irritated at some point. And And then I just say that, "Okay, fine. I'll be at home for 1 year. And I'll see what I wanted to do." And then he gave me a few suggestions. "How about secretary? How about in bank? How about, all this position, which I'm not really interested." At some point, I told him that I don't want to be a tea lady for my boss, mixing tea or things. I want something really exciting. "So this is what I want to do. And it's entirely up to you whether you agree or not, because this is my career path." And he just kept quiet, and I continue with my fine art first. And then for 1 year, I was doing fine arts, mm-hmm. just, brushing up everything, because art naturally comes to me. Mm-hmm. And then the following year, I say, "Okay, fine, I'm going to go to college. And I'm going to take up graphic design." Again, he said no. I say, "This time, either you like it or don't like it, I am going, and that's about it." Okay. So that's how it's all started.
Okay.
And from there, I like advertising above the line, billboard, storytelling, TV commercials and all that, because there's a story over there. Mm. So I thought I could go that line, and I majored in advertising in college. But photography, it was really something else. It was it didn't occur to me, I'm going to be a photographer or whatsoever, nothing at all. But the final year, I did photography, but then on dance. Odyssey
yes.
dance
yes.
Under Dato' Ramli Ibrahim. And that was my final year project. And dance was the first one. Mm. And then after that, since majoring in advertising, I thought of going into advertising. Again, I have a curfew of coming back home. Just because that working in advertising line is 24/7. You don't know, it's very unpredictable. So I decided not to play safe, not to pursue in advertising. Just that is the year that was really the peak time in Malaysia, mm-hmm. advertising in the 90s, early 90s to I think mid 2000, okay. around that. Advertising was that's the year, that's that period of that, people like Yasmin Ahmad, mm-hmm. all these people, great storytellers. A good Petronas ad, all this, you will see all that, and you just you come together, So from there, it developed into photography and on film, okay, the old-fashioned way, yeah. black and white. I see either black or white. I mean, color pictures, yes, it's beautiful, that's nice. But black and white is easy for you to concentrate.
Okay.
either you are in the black or you're in the white. You are not in the between.
No grays then, no?
In between gray, yes. There's a silver lining there.
Okay.
Maybe you can negotiate that. Mm-hmm. But I think that is much more powerful to present, and it show overall of it.
Okay.
Right. If you were to go back to photography history, black and white is the first one. And I've experienced this one exhibition, London in 100 years, okay? A tiny photograph of 100 years, it was still intact in terms of the printing and all that. It was so superb. It isn't a big print, but then it's just the size of maybe a bookmark size. It's okay. A longish kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the printing quality and things like that, it was so superb. And when looking at the picture itself, you can feel the picture. I mean, you can feel that moment of London during that time.
Hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So black and white is like speaks a big volumes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it all started. And then slowly, you know, I've been like going to places. I used to drive on my own, going to all these empty, interesting places that drawn me to go. And then I'll just stop and I'll just look around. It could be trees, could be house, could be anything that I feel like taking.
Mm-hmm.
So during that period of time, I've taken lots of photographs, but I didn't publish them,
right.
Only selected ones. And then it has been lying there for so long. I think maybe for more than 25 years now.
Okay.
So finally, I took it out and I just gave to my curator, Fu Chi Wei. And I say, okay, and here you go. And that's all it started, past life and distant voices.
Okay, so that's, of course, this current exhibition, right? But I know that, you know, in previous exhibitions, you know, you documented, well, I think firstly, it was, like you mentioned, various dance genres, right? So there was classical Indian dance, Odyssey. Then I think there was Cantonese opera, there was Northern Malay dance drama, Mak Yong as well,
yeah.
Healing rituals, mind poetry, all of that,
yes.
Right? I mean, why did you find yourself being drawn to these sorts of, like, I guess, themes or, yeah, these sorts of topics?
I think dance, to capture dance is really interesting. I'm not saying the other subjects are not interesting, but for me, this is like very challenging because they are performing. And to get something like a picture, I mean, like a clear picture and things like that, it's a techniques and all that it involves. But for me, I would prefer that the movement there whereby, you know, is abstract. And it's like, you know, in between you see something, you know, it's like an unexpected framework turn out in your negative, you know, and then you choose another, and that becomes more abstract and become a piece of art.
Okay.
So by capturing all that, personally, I personally like performing arts. So I thought there was a need, although it's very niche, but it's more of a cultural, because I like, you know, something very different types, explore different kind of culture, dance, heritage, and things like that. Even whether you name it building, you name it a house or places, you know, you just go into it, you know, you melt together, you know. Like, for example, if you have an assignment, like... I had this residency, a prestigious residency in 2011, whereby it was in China.
Okay.
It's called the Three Shadows. And they also affiliate together with International Photography Center in New York. So the second branch was in China. And one of the board of directors is Ai Weiwei. Obviously, during that time, I didn't see Ai. But, you know, that amount, that the place there. And when you are in a foreign land and you don't speak the language, despite their Mandarin is different, our local Mandarin is different. But this is very interesting to actually understand human character. That's what another part of me that I'm interested in. And also to analyze and to see overall of it, you know. So it's like you just go, you melt together with their society, and then you be like one of them. Of course, you'll be one outstanding because of one Indian girl, you know, in the street among the Chinese, whereby I used to get that kind of attention. But so far, touch wood, I was quite lucky. Despite a language barrier and all that, during my residency over there, Every time when I go out in China, I mean to Beijing City, because this is like a bit further from Beijing City, I used to take the bus every day. And that one particular bus driver, he will wait for me.
So sweet.
And he will take me there. And he knows exactly like between 5 to 5.30, I'll be there waiting for the same bus. And he still will be there waiting. Although I don't know him, but, you know, towards the end, it's like almost every day I see him. And I don't have to ring the bell. He knows exactly where to stop. So I was very lucky in that way when I was, you know, traveling during my residencies and all that. So this is like some of the interesting experience of people besides performing arts, you know, catching the essence of
Human behavior. Performing arts, people, I mean, those are kind of the subjects and themes that I guess you find yourself most drawn to, right? But in terms of your own photography style, are there any photographers or even artists who, I don't know, might have influenced or inspired your work?
Okay, reference, yes. But in particular, like following their styles and things, no. I have my own style. I mean, my style comes just spontaneously. It's just like, you know, because camera is just a tool. And you use the camera to create your picture. So it's entirely up to you how. But in terms of inspirations and things, I like this British photographer named by Susan Melies. And she's a documentary photographer.
Okay.
And her subjects all are very interesting. And the one subject that I was very drawn to, it was her Nicaragua's series, whereby one of her picture taken, I mean, that she took, it's a body been murdered, but only you can see the bottom half.
Okay.
The upper part of the body, you don't see a body, but you only see a skeleton. Only see a spine.
Okay.
So I was like, looking at the picture in cells, I was like, how?
Yeah.
I think I'll be like, I don't know. At that particular moment, if I'm there, if it is a job, that means I will do my job, take picture and go back. But for a woman, you know, as in like taking this photograph and the mindset to be that strong, that was really inspiring. I mean, you look up to someone like, oh, okay, you know, if she can do it, so I'm sure that we also can do it. So you have to be very open. So she was one of my inspiration, actually.
Okay.
I mean, looking at her pictures, but not necessarily has to be her style, but the kind of thinking that she had in her mind, that was really something to talk about and, you know, look at. Yeah,
I guess kind of that bravery maybe, or that, you know, really just wanting to document it, not kind of like, not erasing anything, you know, showing it as it was in that sense.
It's just like what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
As there's no any fake, there's no any additional blurred or nothing at all. It's just that how she take the picture, what she see, and then what you get.
So the realism there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is the world out there.
Yeah.
And when you're in a war country, this is what you see, you know. And I think that is quite interesting
to explore.
I mean, I don't mind going to in a war zone country and taking photographs. In fact, I have tried once, but I got a long lecture for doing so. You know, why are you joining this? You know, you're going to go there, and you know, it's a very dangerous country to go. You know, you cannot go there. This, that, and all that. And, you know, it spoil everything. You know, but as a photographer, I think you have to be very open, and
just
you have to
disregard.
You just like just go with the flow and just pack your bag and just go and take pictures. I mean, this is me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And, you know, you've had many, many different exhibitions. Any milestones or any significant moments, you know, from your career thus far that you can share with us?
Okay. The one from photography, my trip to China during that time, it was like research on Cantonese opera.
Ah, yes.
I grew up in Kepong, whereby I'm surrounded with Chinese opera. Kekpong is very famous for Kekpong Jinjang in those days, in the 70s. And I enjoy watching Chinese opera, despite not understanding what is it about. You know, I like the movement. I like to see their makeup. You know, it's like during the Hungry Ghost Festival. Yeah. You know, it's like very interesting. It's like completely different. So I was introduced to this lady by a good friend of mine, and she's the last prima donna of Cantonese opera. And she is so perfect. She is so to the detail that it's like very admirable to see her in her profession. Mm. It's not about the money, but it's the passion that she had, you know. And so I was very drawn to it. So I was thinking to myself, I've done the Odyssey, I've done the Mayong. I need to complete my task because the three main races, you know, and it's in the culture. So I say, okay, yes, I'm going to do opera. And I asked my friend to introduce me to her. Then I went and see her, and she said, it's all yours. If you have any problem, you come to me and I will guide you. But whatever picture that you want to take, it's all entirely yours.
Wow, okay.
Okay, she just gave me the green light and she told all her crew, she's here to document us, please guide her and help her. And then, so I was taking photographs and I was thinking, why not accompany with a small short film, you know? And I had my crew and I was directing it, telling to my crew, okay, this is what I want. And sometime I go together and when they are shooting the whole opera, I'll be there. I say, I think you better close up this, you know, you do this, do that, kind of things like that. So we made into a short film. And in 2012, that was the first time in Cannes Film Festival, they open up the short film corner.
Yeah.
So one of the curator from International Photographic Center from New York, he saw this short film and he said that, Namala, why don't you send this to film festival? And I just turned and looked at it. I think he must be joking, you know, because it was just raw, purely raw. It was not, it was edited, yes, but the overall of it, 95% it was raw. There's nothing added, nothing. It's just that what you see is just that what you get. He said, no, why don't you send? You never know, no? So I was like, am I up to that standard to send this film? Then I said, okay, why not give a try? And that time I was staying in London. And since Cannes is just like about an hour away from London, and I just submitted to the festival, and true enough that I was selected.
Wonderful.
And it was not on the in the open category. And they viewed the film, and then it was just selected. And I was like, Cannes, selected, you know? Oh, wow.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, wow. This is the biggest film festival in Europe. It's same par as Oscar, you know. But for somebody to review this and being selected itself is really something. I mean, we are not talking about winning, but selected,
correct.
You know.
Yeah.
So that was my biggest, I would say, is my biggest achievement.
That's a huge one, Nirmala. That's really wonderful.
You know,
yeah.
Because it's getting into there, it's like really something.
The documentary, I know you had screenings in Malaysia, right? But not recently, right? I mean, is there any chance that if anyone's listening, they'd like to watch the documentary? Is there any avenue for that?
Actually, to be very honest, since after the 2012, after that, I had a break for almost 8 to 9 years.
Yeah.
Because of family commitment and all that. So I didn't really like following up.
Sure.
But, you know, but I do see things like that. But I was not very serious because I was in a full concentration on this side.
I get it. Okay. Yeah.
So now it's like a coming back. I mean, 2018, there was a tribute of my
to
late
dad,
father's
yeah.
exhibition. Then after that, you know, I had other things to do. And now it's like fully coming into a circle.
Okay.
So I'll be definitely going back into film
nice.
Soon. So it's like that will be the next project.
Okay.
And But in terms of the local one, I'm sure a lot of people has done a lot of short film documentary. Even some even went to Cannes, some mm-hmm. even like a few yeah. things, you know. Yeah. Even Oscars and all kind
yeah,
of things,
yeah,
you know.
For sure.
So yeah, in terms of the local thing, Malaysia, I would say that not too bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Well, we will keep an eye on that. But, you know, we're going to talk about this current exhibition now, but we just need to go for one quick break. I'm speaking today to Nirmala Karupia. She's a photographer. Her exhibition, her new exhibition is called Past Lives and Distant Voices. It is a photography exhibition. We're going to dive into that after this quick break. Keep it here on Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today, Nirmala Karupia. She's a photographer. Her exhibition is called Past Lives and Distant Voices. It is a photography exhibition that explores the concept of anamoya, which is longing for a time one has never experienced firsthand. So we're going to find out more about that today. Nirmala, so before the break, you know, you shared all about your career thus far, right? Let's talk about this exhibition. So you did mention briefly that it's a collection of all the photographs that you've taken that have not been published, isn't it? So yeah, but that concept, you know, that anamoya that we were talking about, that's you know, very interesting, right? Why did you want to explore that concept for Past Lives and Distant Voices?
Okay, it's all started my curator Fu Chiwei. I asked him to curate this exhibition, so he asked me, what do you have in your mind? And I just look at him, I say, I don't know, here are the pictures. So you tell me. He said, and he went like, you cannot do that to me. You have to tell me what you have in your mind. Yeah. So, and I said, and I mentioned to him that, I'm not too sure about this, or maybe you also had that kind of experience. When you go to a certain place, you feel that you've been there before, and yet you couldn't recall exactly when. Again, if you go back there, you feel that you've been there before. Then he just looked at me and we paused for a while. Then I look at him and say, you know, something like deja vu. And he just like, okay, there you go. We have something now, you know. You are talking now, you know. I say, yeah, but they just give me a moment. But I'm like, you know, I'm coming there. I say, the word is deja vu.
Okay.
You say, okay, deja vu. Oh, it could be connected to anamoya, you know, you say that. Then after that, he mentioned to another word. It's a German word. You pronounce it as Sinzo.
Sinzucht. It's the spelling is S-E-H.
Yeah.
And S-U-C-H-T, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know, I was struggling with my tongue, you know, trying to twist it. And he say, you know, it's like related to this, you know. I say it's basically, it's very simple. When you go to a place and you experience it and you pause for a moment, and then you are drawn into something else.
Okay.
When you're drawn into something else, it's like a flashback. It could be a flashback. Or it could be like, I don't know, past lives. Maybe you've been there in your past lives, you know. We don't know about the past life, you know, as in like the word as in past life. But in terms of stories, movies and kind of things like that. So, and then we connect together, and then he say, okay, past lives, distant voices. That means it's in your past and in your present that you're experiencing in this present about your past, you know. So I say, oh, yeah, that is very exciting, I say, like that. And it's also like mind-boggling kind of thing. It's like, you know, you make you think. That means when you look at my pictures, you will go like, I've been there before. Maybe you will experience in that way. So the whole idea of this exhibition is that is the experience that I'm looking at with my audience.
Okay.
So maybe they will look at one picture. Hey, I think I've been there. No?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the kind of things that I'm going to hear from my audience.
Okay.
So it's like open interpretation.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. It's a selection of 20 works of various places during my travels. And we choose the one that we want to. And then there will be a continuous after this. because it's like storytelling, you know.
Okay. So this is like the first series, perhaps, of exhibitions, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. First series. It's like places. You will see very less human being, okay. Or maybe a tiny human being, or maybe you have to squeeze your eyes to look into the human being. Okay. And then after that, it will continue to go to something else that we have in our mind. Maybe we have something going on there, but sometimes we want to complete this. And then after that, maybe towards the end, maybe about 2 or 3, 4 series after this, then we will combine it all together, you know, okay. Kind of things like that. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sure, I mean, it must have been quite hard also for your curator, right? Because it's a process of weaving together some quite disparate moments, isn't it? And
yes.
Sentiments, and you to try and create this sort of cohesive narrative in the photography, right? How did you guys collaborate to do that?
Okay. He selected some of his, and I proposed some of my favorite ones.
Okay.
And when we put together, we lay out the whole thing together, and he goes like, oh, this one doesn't, it doesn't gel with this, you know. I say, why? I say, I like it, you know. It's not about like, but it's about, you know, the content of the story, you know, continuous, you know. I was like, oh, no, okay. I said, no, but I like it, you know. But then it doesn't gel to it, you know. So we have a little bit of negotiation there, you know. Okay, what not, what yes. And finally, like when we hang the books, you know, when the actual printout came, then he went like, oh, this is beyond what I see, you know. And can you please tell me again, why did you like this picture? Why do you want this picture to be in it? I say, you know, it's that feeling, you know, that you look at it, you know, then I don't know, I get drawn to it. Like another two pictures, that was an accidental shot. I think it's overexposed. But the overexposed turned out to be an abstract. That is the ending of
the exhibition.
So the first two picture is like, there's two pictures over there, like looking through an arch of an oval. Like, you know, you are going into
something, yeah.
It's like you open a book and you're going into like a mirror or a window kind of things like that. And then slowly the exhibition will take you around. And towards the end, the accidental shot become as the abstract picture of open interpretation to the viewers.
Nice. Okay. And so there is a kind of a journey that we as yes. viewers will go through when we come see the exhibition, right?
In fact, we were like walking, and then we were turning, and then looking into the picture, and then slowly, you know, like some sort of like a kind of dance movement that we went into, you know.
Okay.
You know, just to experience the feeling. So this will be like on that part. And also during the exhibition, so there will be a music that is related to the picture.
Okay.
That Fu has something in his mind to
okay.
do there.
Okay. But it's interesting, right? Because you want, I guess, also viewers to reflect on their own connections with the past as well, right?
Of course, yes.
And kind of like, I guess the history is within their own souls as well, right? When they look at the photos?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Very much.
Okay. And how, I know it's photographs, right? But would you say there are any techniques or methods that you've employed to kind of evoke that sort of feeling, that the feeling of déjà vu, perhaps?
Nothing at all. Nothing extra creation. No. It's what you see is what you get.
Okay.
There's no any extra additional softwares or nothing at all. It's
okay.
Like purely, when you walk, you see the moment, you take the picture. And this is purely on negative. It's not even a digital.
Mm.
Okay. And it's all from negative taken photographs.
So not altered and then, in any way, right?
And then you have to scan it and then you have to print them. Because
okay.
nowadays to do the hand printing is like very less. I mean, I in those days, yes, there are few people. But I think now it's like more and more people into digital
right.
photography.
Right.
So I have to like scan all my negatives, you know,
yeah.
because it's all a precious pictures.
Of course, this is your...
And you can never get at all.
Okay.
You can never go back to that moment and you can never get that picture at all. And then one interesting picture in this collection is the St. Mary's School in Bukit Bintang.
Mm-hmm.
Around the, you know, before they demolished the school. I think they have the arch now.
Okay.
I managed to take that photograph. So I think that one is like very interesting.
Okay.
It's like the, you know, it's going up the stairs. And that's the one that we entitled as Distant Voices.
I see. Okay. Is that your favorite? I was going to ask if you had like a particular photograph that really holds a special significance to you.
Actually, all of them are my favorites.
Okay.
I like the one in Terengganu. There was a sampan over there. I think maybe it's very Malaysia, you know, and, you know, close to your home. Yeah. It is your country and kind of things like that. And other than that, it's like more of experiencing the feeling, you know, like I was in Denver, Colorado. I went to the national park and I took some photographs, you know, really nice ones. And also during my residency in China, the Forbidden City, you know, my past life. I could be a Chinese or what. I'm not sure, you know.
It's interesting because you went, you know, something drew you back there. Yeah.
You know, at some point when you are taking the picture, so you feel like, you know.
Did you? You had that feeling?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Most of the pictures that, you know, exhibited in this exhibition, yeah, some are rather little bit here and then you just go like,
I've been here. I've felt this. I've seen this.
not so much I've been here. It's like,
Familiar,
you know, kind of things like that, you know. So it's like a curiosity.
Yeah.
It's good to have curiosity and, you know, your mind will work well when you have curiosity, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. So 20 photographs and all black and white.
Yes.
And, you know, from all over the world as well, right? A whole...
All my travels, right?
Yeah. And did you face any challenges when you were trying to put this together? You know, I guess, you know, choosing these 20 photographs must have been quite tough as well, right? See your face so bad. Yeah, who had to deal with that? Whatever.
But we had a very good type of negotiating. I mean, I enjoy working with Fu, of course.
Yes.
And, you know, the kind of advice that he gives and, you know, it's valuable advice, I would say. So I look up to him. Yes.
Okay. So it started on the 5th of April, right? So that's today. The exhibition is on from the 5th right up till the 30th of April. It's happening over at Kamaria Gallery, which is located at 6 Jalan 16/7, Petaling Jaya, Selangor. I understand viewing is by appointment only, right?
Yeah, viewing is by appointment. And also, I wanted to indicate that on the 21st of April, there will be a talk by Wesley Wong.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Wong is a master printer from Hilford, and he will be giving talk on print. And that talk is like limited to 30 people. Okay. It's like first come first.
Okay.
Okay. You have to call in to book the appointment, and the talk starts from 3 o'clock. Registration at 2:30 p.m. And it lasts until 6 o'clock in the evening.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So that again, what day was that again?
It's on the 21st of April.
21st, okay. So that's a Sunday afternoon, yeah?
Yeah, that's a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be basically a talk and a little bit of tea over there and...
just get the chance to chat with you and have a look at the photographs isn't it? And
exactly.
Fu will be there as well, I'm sure, the curator.
I hope so. He will be there because he seems to be very busy. I hope he will be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, if you do want to make an appointment, the number to call is 019-333-1092. So I'll say that again, 019-333-1092. Do call before making your way there. Nirmala, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Juliet.
Any concluding message that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Come and experience the exhibition. Not because that I took the photographs or something like that. No, it's more to experiencing a journey that you never know that you, by looking at it, you also feel the same thing. So come and view the exhibition if you can.
Okay. My thanks to my guest. I was speaking to Nirmala Karupia, photographer. Her current exhibition is called Past Lives and Distant Voices. It is again happening at Kamaria Gallery over in Section 16. Do make your way there. But if you miss any part of our conversation today, you can always search for the podcast at bfm.my/front-row. You can also find it on the BFM app. This has been Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, Download the BFM app